Good morning. That sounds a little bit weak. Y'all like I am, y'all give out this morning? Appreciate you being with us on our Sunday School Hour. Thank the Lord he'd bless us through another week, give us another opportunity. Come fellowship together and feed on his word. And see what he has to say to us today. Thank you much. I thank you for putting up with me. We're going to begin this morning in the book of Joshua. So we will turn there to begin with. Go do something different. Opportunity, and I want us to look at this opportunity that we have this morning in scriptures as we're going that way. We've been looking at the work of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament and New Testament, and we know now the nation of Israel with the Ark of the Covenant, and they're following it, and the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. We've talked about all those things. But this morning we're going to dwell on a different subject because of something that we see in this scripture as the nation of Israel have crossed over into Jordan, and Jericho is staring them in the face. So bow with us just a moment, word of prayer, and then we'll look at it together. Lord, we thank you again for the day, for the blessings of life, for an opportunity again today, Lord, to come into your house and open your precious word and fellowship together in your precious word. Lord, if there's any good that comes out of anything that's said here today, it's going to be because of the precious Holy Spirit that indwells, that opens those scriptures to us and gives us knowledge to understand your precious word. It will not be anything of ourselves, it will be all of you. So we ask, Lord, this day that we speak the truth according to your precious word. Guide all our thoughts and our speech and our understanding as we fellowship together today. May we misquote or mislead in any direction of any way. Lord, I thank you for each one who's present, each one who's listening in. That's a special blessing. But Lord, we also know that we all are a needy people. We have needs in different areas. You're able to meet them, so Lord, we submit them to you this day and ask that you help us and guide us through. Bless today as only you can. Be with Brother Randy and Sister Mary as they come into worship power. And use us all for your glory. In the precious name of Christ, we do pray. Amen. Now, you know, we talked about the nation of Israel as they have approached Jericho and they're fixing to take Jericho. But I want us to reflect back for just a moment on some things that we've seen as they've come to the point that they are now. We are at the point that marked around Jericho, and Jericho has been a walled city. But there's something that's got to take place before anything can be done to Jericho. So that's what I want us to study. Now, I told you it's going to be totally different, but we have an opportunity here that I think we need to look at. We always talk about the rapture and post and pre and middle and all those things. But I want us to look at a few scriptures this morning that maybe will help you to understand when the rapture of the church takes place. So back in, you remember a woman named Rahab that we talked about? Where did she live? She lived on the wall of the city of Jericho, right? And what was she? She was a harlot. She was a sinner, just like you and I. And if you say, well, I've never been a sinner this morning, you're sitting in here and say you're saved by the marvelous grace of God, you better do a checkup.
Right.
because we're all born in sin. We're all sinners. We all need a Savior, and that Savior is Christ. But I want us to look at this Rahab. You know, the two witnesses came to spy out the city, and they hid those two witnesses from those of Jericho. The promise was made that they'd be spared. So we're looking at something this morning in that perspective. So I also want you to remember that in Joshua, the 5th chapter, in that 13th through the 14th verse, when it said, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? He said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord, I am now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto this servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Joshua did so. So now, this is the only time that we'll see this mentioned in this whole time of Jericho being taken. But now, as they began the conquest of Jericho, I wanted you to notice a couple of things in this. I want you to look at 16. I know we read this last Sunday, but look at the 16th verse. And it says, It came to pass at the seventh time when the priest blew the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. What tense is that last phrase in that verse? It's already done. He's already given it to you. It hadn't yet happened, but it's in God's side, it's already done. A finished product. In verse number 17, as it said, the city, excuse me, he said, the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Now, how many and how much of the city is accursed? He said, everything about this city is accursed. Now, when we look at the tribulation period, we come to the judgment of the world. And here we have Jericho like the world. Now, I want you to look at the next phrase in this 17th verse. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. Now, who's going to come out of Jericho alive? Rahab and her family. Keep that thought in mind. Rahab and her family. Let me throw this at you just a moment. What are we who know Christ as our personal Savior? We are what? We are a family of God. All of us are sinners. All of us have been saved now by the marvelous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And all of us have been brought into the family of God. We are a family of God. Now, Rahab, Jericho is fixing to be destroyed, and Rahab is sitting on the wall of Jericho. When Jericho is destroyed, what's the first thing that's going to come down? The wall is going to be the first thing that comes down. Now, God says that everybody in Jericho is going to be put under judgment, but who? But Rahab and her family. So now, look at something on down a little bit farther in these scriptures. We know as we go on, we talked about it. We said they shouted and the wall come down and all that. But I want you to look at verse number 22. Now, I told you in verse 17, God says that I'm going to give it as it's already done, but it hasn't happened yet. Well, here's another situation. Verse number 23, But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, Go into the harlot's house, bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brother and all that she had, and they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. Now, I think what we can see here is that man that we've seen in verse number 13 a little bit too, that we don't see anything. Now, do you think those two spies could have just walked up and knocked on the door of the gate of the wall of Jericho and said, hey, by the way, we're here to go up there and get Rahab and her family and take them out of here? You think that would work real well? Now, it don't tell me how that they got Rahab and her family out of Jericho. All I know is that God delivered them. And I'll tell you something else. When God comes in the clouds of the air and the trumpet blows and he said, come home, we're coming home. Yes, we're getting off the wall because he knows what's fixing to happen. Amen. Now, what we see here is that nothing is going to happen to Jericho until Rahab is gone. Now, notice something else in this particular verse also. Not only is Rahab going to be taken off the wall of Jericho, but she's going to be placed somewhere. Now, I want you to notice what this verse says, the latter part of this verse. He said, go into the harlot's house, verse number 22. Bring out, thence the woman, and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. Promises being made. Remember, the promise was back when, remember, we talked about the blood and all, everything that was talked about in that promise that was made to Rahab. So now this promise is being fulfilled. The young man went in verse number 23. That were spies, they went in and brought out Rahab and her family. But I want you to notice the last phrase in this particular verse. And what does it say? They brought them out, and where did they leave them? They left them without the camp of Israel. Does that little phrase mean anything to you? Let's just let it soak in a minute. Does that little phrase mean anything to you? If we go back and we look in the book of Revelations, let's do a little bit of comparison this morning. Let's look at a few things. So go with me all the way, book of Revelations. Let's go to chapter number 4, book of Revelations. Now, John has just talked to the seven churches, number 7 completion. That's the whole body of the believers. He just talked to them. The tribulation period is now fixing to start. We find out that God's fixing to take the title deeds of the world, it has its 7 seals around it. He's been going to break those seals, and judgment is fixing to take place on this earth. But prior to that is verse number 4. Now look at verse number 4, and we're going to read a few verses here in verse number 4. And after this, Revelation 4, chapter verse number 1, after this I looked, And behold, a what? A door. What's a door? A door is a way to get out of here, right? A door is a passageway. So they looked, and there was a door. And how is this door? This door is opened. And where is this door opened at? In heaven. Where are you going to go when you leave here? I know where I'm going. I hope you know where you're going. I'm going up. I'm going to heaven. See, Francis is in too, along with Christ. But I'm going up. Now, he also said he heard a voice, and he said, notice this. He didn't just say, I heard a voice. He said, the first voice, which I heard was as it were a trumpet. When we're raptured, what we're going to hear? The trumpet's going to sound, right? And he said it was doing what? It was talking with me. A conversation. You realize we'll have a conversation with Christ as we ascend up to be with him. He said he's talking with me. And this is what it says. He says, come up hither. I'm ready for you to come home. So you come on up hither. And I will show you these things which must be hereafter. Now, he says to you, John, I'm going to show you some things that are going to be hereafter. Now look at the next verse. And immediately I was in the Spirit. How fast are we going to be changed? If Christ were to come right now, how fast is it going to be before we'll be changed? In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And here he says something happened immediately. I was in another spirit. He said, I was not in another spirit. I was in the Spirit. And behold, a throne was in heaven, and one that sat on the throne. And he that sat on it looked upon like jasper and a sort of stone, and there was a rainbow around about the throne, and the sight like unto an emerald. So where does the door open to, and where does he go, and what does he see? That's our rapture. That's our rapture. And that's just like Rahab was on the wall. You got to get her on off the wall because judgment is fixing to come, and she's got to be off the wall before judgment of Jericho comes. We are here on this earth, and we're going to have to leave this earth before the tribulation begins. So we leave before tribulation. Now, let me show you something else while we look at this. It describes Christ. Let me see if I can find what I want to look at here right quick. Flip over to chapter number 7 now. Now remember, we read in Jericho that when the harlot came down, she went outside the camp of Israel. Now Israel, the Jews in Jericho, are fixing to go through the judgment of Jericho. I know God's going to take care of all that. There's not anything going to happen to a single son of every one of them. But now let me show you something. They have got to go through Jericho. It says the wall's going to fall down. They're going to walk straight up. And they're going to take the sword. And they're going to kill everything in there, man, woman, child. In other words, they're going to totally destroy it. Well, tribulation period is the judgment of the total world. Okay? But I want you to look at something here. In chapter number 7, verse number 1. Now, we find that we have just had an example in verse number 6 of what's going to happen when all these seals open. He gives us a bird's eye view of what's in the future to take place as each one of these seals are opened. But now in verse number 7, he says, hold a minute, let's pause. Before I begin to break these seals and before judgment begins to come on the world, he says, I'm going to do something. And this is what I'm going to do. And he says, after these things, except the chapter, verse number 1, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor the seas, nor any tree. And I saw another angel ascend from the east. It's a pretty good place to come from, having the seal of the living God. Now, this angel's got what? He's got the seal of the living God. What does he do with it? And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom was given to hurt. Was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, do we have sealed the servants of our God in their forehead. And then he numbers those, and who are they? There are 144,000 Jews, Israelites, sealed in the forehead, fixing to go through the judgment. And guess what? They're going to go through the tribulation period. I believe they're going to be missionaries for Christ, along with the two witnesses. And guess what? There's not one thing going to happen to a single one of them as far as death is concerned. You know why? Because they got God's stamp on them. Now, you say that's a bunch of junk. They'll never get through that tribulation period, and not a single solitary one of that 144,000. Let me tell you something. When God said, I'm going to do something, he does it. He's going to look after us as he says, I'm going to establish my church in what? And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We've got one God, the only true God, and he's the most powerful of all. Now, let me show you something about, and I'll just throw this in for good measure. I want you to turn over to 14th chapter, but I want you to keep in mind now that when Rahab come off of that wall, it says that she did not go into the camp of Israel. So she is not with Israel. We are not with the nation of Israel, anybody other than Christ in the fight over during the tribulation period. We are on standby, so to speak. And the 14th chapter of the book of Revelation, and I want you to look at, beginning with the first verse of the 14th chapter, and I'm going to read a few verses for you here. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him what? 144,000 having his father's name written in their forehead. Now, how many is here? The same number that was over there when we started. And they've come now. Where is Christ now? He's here. He said he's standing on Mount Zion. The tribulation period is now over. What comes after the tribulation period? The millennial reign. What's the millennial reign all about? The millennial reign is a promise to the nation of Israel that he would set up an earthly kingdom, that God said, I'll set up an earthly kingdom, and Jesus Christ will be your king, and he will rule over this earth for 1,000 years from the throne of David. And here shows us a fulfillment, because here's this 144,000 who've gone through the tribulation period. Not a single solid one of them been lost. And now they're fixing to walk into that 1,000-year millennial reign. Now, what do we see back over in Joshua? The church gets off the wall. That's what the harlot is, represents the church. And after they're gone, placed outside the camp, where are we? Where are we going to be during the tribulation period? See, we're going to be with Christ. We're going to be outside the camp, so to speak. I'm going to go back to Joshua in just a minute and show you something. So we're going to be onlookers. And you'd a whole lot rather be an onlooker during the tribulation period than a participant during the tribulation period. I'll take the onlook anytime. I'll stay outside the camp anytime. The nation of Israel's got to go through Jericho. The nation of Israel's got to go through the tribulation period. But there's a millennium on the other side for the nation of Israel. And we who are outside the camp are going to join that camp and live and reign with Christ for 1,000 years as he rules and reigns over the nation of Israel. Does any of that make sense to you? Have I lost you somewhere? Now let's go back. All the way back. So this Joshua's a long way before the tribulation period. And here you and I are as plain as day to me. So they put them outside the camp. Verse number 24, and they burned the city with fire and all that was therein, only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and iron. They put into the treasure of the house of the Lord. That's what God told them to do, and that's exactly what they did with it. And it says, and Joshua saved Rahab alive and her father's household, and all that she had, and she dwelleth. Now, what tense is this? Now, see, we get into a present tense. What did I just say we was going to do during the millennial reign? And who are we going to be reigning with? And what are we going to be reigning over? And who are we going to be working with during the millennial reign? Here it says, and she dwelleth in what? In Israel, even unto this day, because she had hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. And then it says, it's a cursed city. So I don't know about you, but I can see the rapture of the church off that wall of Jericho and in Rahab. Because we're covered with the blood and there's been a promise made. Now, maybe we need to look at a couple more places while we're doing this, just to show you how God does things, in case you've forgotten. And every time you'll see when God comes to the judgment, his just people do not go through the judgment. He delivers his people before he declares the judgment. Let me show you a couple of examples, okay? I want you to go all the way back to the book of Genesis, and I want you to go all the way back to chapter number 6. Now, what has just happened in chapter number 6? We find that the flood is fixing to take place. God has declared judgment on the face of the whole world. And in verse number 8 is that word that I like so good and call your attention to so much. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah that was a just man and perfect in his generation. And Noah did what? He walked with God. So he was a righteous man. Now look at verse number 12. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, of all flesh had corrupted his ways upon the earth. So what did God do? He says, I'm going to destroy it. And we know it. God told Noah to build an ark, and guess what? He built an ark. Now, in chapter number 7, verse number 1. Now, what is the flood? We know the flood was judgment. It's judgment of what? It's judgment of the whole world. And Noah, in this particular situation, I see Noah like the church is. We are not righteous, not of ourselves, but of the blood of Jesus Christ and the price that Christ has paid and what he's done for us and washed us, our sins away through his precious blood. And in God's sight, we're righteous. Okay? Now, what's going to happen to Noah? And the Lord said, notice who's saying what and who's doing what. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. So now who's he dealing with? He's dealing with those that he sees righteous. And what is he saying? He says, come thou and all thy house, and come where? You're going to come into the ark. That's the only place there's any safety, right? So you're going to come in the ark. And then he tells them how to come and what to do. But what I want you to look at, the point I want to make more than anything else in this, I want you to look at verse number 13, the same, and the self-same day enter Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife and three wives of his sons with them into the ark. That's a small number, right? So they all come into the ark. Verse number 15, and they went in unto Noah into the ark, two by two, all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all the flesh, that God had commanded him. So now we got Noah and his family, of course, like God told Noah to do, bring all those things that have the breath of life in them, two by two, all but the clean. And he says, you bring the clean in by seven, because they were those that used had to be used for sacrifice. So they had to get more than two, because if you don't get but two, then you're going to kill the means of sacrifice. So they brought the clean in by seven. See, God's in control. He knows what's going on, and he does his work. But now I want you to notice something in this particular verse. So all of them are going in, just like God had commanded them to do. And the latter part of verse number 14 says what? Number 16 says what? And the Lord did what? Who closed the door? God closed the door. You realize you're safe when you're behind the door of the Lord. When the rapture comes and the door in heaven opens and I go up there and take my seat with him, what happens down here during the tribulation ain't going to bother me a bit in the world. I'm going to be just like Noah in the ark. I'm going to be in the ark of safety, because I'm going to be with my Lord. The church has been raptured. We are not going to be. We're not going through the tribulation period. God raptures his people before the judgment comes. Okay? Now, give you verse number 16. He's going to close the door, and it says, and what happens immediately then? And the flood was 40 days upon the earth. So as soon as God got his people out, what happened? Judgment came. I got just a few minutes. I'm going to give you one more example. I want you to go over to 19. And this is, there's some important words in this chapter number 19. Sodom and Gomorrah. How many of you have ever heard tell of Sodom and Gomorrah? Okay. Let's look at Sodom and Gomorrah for just a moment. See if we can get an example here, 19, verse number 12. I promise you I'll try to get back on the Holy Spirit to work in the Old Testament and New Testament next Sunday. See if we can finish that up. In chapter number 19, excuse me, and verse number 12. Now, we need to go way back because we find that there's a meeting. God, you know, that's a big story anyway. But here are the two angels that come in to Lot in Gomorrah. And here's what they said. The men said unto Lot, hasten thou. Now notice the wording. Hast thou here any besides sons-in-law and thy daughters, and whosoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. Now notice the comments. We'll do it in a hurry. I got 5 minutes. For we will restore this place, because the cry of them is waxed great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to do what? To destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his son-in-laws, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. Next word is what? But. And here's a but. What does a but say? But he seemed as one that mocked unto his son-in-law. We don't care nothing about that. That's the way the world is. That ain't going to change it. Now notice 15, and when the morning arose, the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, and the Lord being merciful unto him. And boy, is he not merciful to us. The Lord being merciful to him, I'm glad he put that in there. And they brought him forth and set him where? Without the city. They actually took him and brought him out. When that trumpet blows, somebody's going to bring you out, I hope. And somebody's going to bring me out. That's going to be our Lord. He's going to bring us without the city. But we're going farther than the city. We're going farther in this universe. We're going to go way beyond where Satan can get hold of us. And, of course, there's a story there. A lot said, don't leave me outside the plains. Don't take me to the mountains anyway. But here's the thing that I want to close with as we close this. Now, notice the sincerity of this the whole time. Hasten, hurry, get out. Actually took hold of them and brought them out. But look at this verse. This next verse carries a lot of weight. It ought to be a lot of comfort and a lot of peace to you and I as we look toward the rapture of the church in the tribulation period. To settle your mind where you think you'll be in the tribulation period or not. Now, he says, verse number 22, hasten thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come hither. As they say, put that in your pipe and smoke it. I cannot do anything until what? Until you are out of here. And tribulation period is not coming until we are out of here. I'm just waiting for that call to get out of here. And I hope you are too. If you're not, Christ is the only way through him and his shed blood. God bless you and thank you for your presence this morning.